Hi, I'm Vaya Skinner, Coordinator for Campus Communications, and welcome to HCC 360. Did you know that Hartford Community College has a program with many different opportunities, such as vocal work, learning instruments, and more? WHFC student intern Mohammed Bangora sat down with Dr. Richard Johnson and Dr. Janice Mahinka to learn more about the music program that HCC has to offer. Let's get into it.
Thanks for coming. Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and where you come from?
Sure. You want to go first, Janice?
Sure. I'm Dr. Janice Mahinka. I come from down the hall there in the music program over in Joppa. I've taught here for a little under 5 years at Hartford Community College. And I teach all sorts of music-y things, so mostly gen ed music classes.
Mm-hmm. Were you teaching anywhere before these 5 years here?
Oh, yeah. I taught for about 7 years in Manhattan at a few different CUNY schools.
Do you like here or Manhattan better?
Yes, both.
Both?
What does CUNY stand for?
City University of New York.
Ah, cool. I've always wondered that.
Each have their pros and cons. Yeah. So it's nice here. I like having the community here, and it feels really close and get to know everyone a little bit more.
That's awesome. All right, now what about you?
Hi, I'm Richard Johnson. Nice to meet you, Mo. I'm a composer and multimedia artist. My primary responsibilities here are teaching the music theory courses.
That's cool. So did you teach anywhere before you taught here?
Yeah, before I came here, I spent 4 years at Western Michigan University, where I taught in a program called Multimedia Arts Technology.
Mm. Was that mostly like hands-on, or were you also using like the computer when you taught over there?
It was a lot of digital hands-on, so a lot of playing with computers, a lot of understanding not just what makes cool noises, what makes cool sound, but also how do we make it? What's going on when we make it? And it's not like that's something only in my past. I certainly still teach that way in the Introduction to Electronic Music course that we have over here at Hartford Community College.
Do you consider, like, using technology, well, both of y'all, do y'all consider the person still being like a real musician even though they're not really playing with a live instrument? You think it takes as much skill or an equal amount of skill?
Well,
what do y'all think about it?
Let me ask you this question. How do you define an instrument?
I would define it as something you use to make music.
Absolutely. And I mean, what's the difference between somebody a few hundred years ago using all of the technology that they could to create a Stradivarius violin versus somebody using all of the technology they know how to use now to do like a Moog analog synth or to play in FL Studio?
What students typically join the music department? Is it always people who have always played instruments, or is it people that are just interested in music in generally?
We get everybody, and we welcome everyone in the music department. So we have students who want to go in the music major track who really haven't played a lot of music, so they're beginners, I guess you'd say. And then we have people who have been playing for at least 10 years and want to do it too. But we have plenty of students who come in, join our ensembles or our private lessons, or just come to classes, and they have no musical background other than the really important musical background of listening to music all of the time. They love music, so really, we have a little bit of everyone, and it's what makes it quite interesting.
How's the music program, like, how is it formatted? Do you get to choose your classes, or is it just a straight path for, like, those 2 years that they attend?
That's actually a really great question. Overall, there are some courses that are very much tracked through from beginning to end. For instance, when you're dealing with the music theory courses, that's 4 semesters straight music theory. There's also on the musicology side of things. How would you describe that?
Well, like the history of music?
Yeah, we have different types of history of music. And so for music majors, it is required to take a 2-semester music survey that it's required, and it helps to do it one after the other. But there's also pick and choose. So we have other gen ed electives, I guess. And so you can pick world music or U.S. history of U.S. pop music. We have a jazz course as well. So lots of different choices in there. But some of it is regimented and some of it's a little bit more flexible.
And along that entire way, you're also dealing with your lessons on your primary instrument, and that will be the four straight semesters or more. I mean, people happily return and keep taking those lessons. It's something where it's regimented that you're going to take those lessons, but in what instrument? Yeah. And what style of music, what pieces are you going to work on while you're working one-on-one with your instructor? Mm-hmm. That varies for every single person coming through the program.
So I assume that first semester, for students that don't know, you guys kind of hone on what instrument they might want to choose as they go through it?
Most people come in, even if they've not touched an instrument
before. Knowing what they
want to. Yeah, you get that sense of, well, I'm going to play an instrument. Mm-hmm. I think I know I'm a guitar person, or I'm electric guitar. I'm electric bass, you know.
What kind of instruments do y'all offer?
Oh, it's a long list, and it's always growing. So we have, at this point, we have violin, viola, we have acoustic guitar, electric bass, acoustic bass. I feel like I'm listing way too much at this point.
I think it's fair to say
about everything.
Think in terms of, like, you know, those traditional back when you were potentially in middle school or something,
so
where they're
recorder.
Like, yeah, not the recorder. We actually don't have any recorder.
But yeah, I would
lessons.
Assume like flute, trombone, I guess.
Yeah.
Keyboard, like piano, I guess. Guitar. Those are probably like the most popular ones that y'all have.
Yeah, and voice. Yeah. Mm. Voice is quite popular.
What are the newest ones? That
voice
y'all
is divided into both the more traditional European classical singing style, mm-hmm. and then a more modern commercial.
Yeah, which also can cover theater and stuff like that. So,
what are the most recent ones that you had? Because since y'all are always adding more, right?
We have relatively recently to the program, there's also lessons in improvisation, there's lessons specifically in composition, and when we find students who come in with a specific instrument in their belt or something to tackle, sometimes we do have to go out and find the right adjunct faculty member, studio faculty member, mm-hmm. to engage with that student.
Well, you already said the cultures, didn't you? You said Latin music. That's your favorite that you were learning, but how many do they have for ACC?
For
classes? For
classes? Mm-hmm. Well, our world music class investigates, I think, 10 world regions, mm-hmm. which is really most of them. I think I left out Central Asia, but generally we hit at least one or two genres from each region. And so by the end of the semester, the world music class has covered, I think, 36 different genres of music from all around the world. So mm-hmm. Caribbean calypso, or Hindustani classical music, or Arabic classical music, or sometimes mariachi music. So mm-hmm. just a little bit of everything as we go through the whole semester.
Is it fair to say, Dr. Mahinka, that exploring different musical cultures and understanding and learning about those, that really is your passion and what your background is in? Is that fair, or am I misrepresenting you?
Quite astute, yes. My background is in ethnomusicology. My PhD is in that field in particular, which translates roughly to what people like and need and desire out of music. So when I studied this, I learned about all different music around the world, and I find that that's the most wonderful thing to share, is that I can get people into new musics and to be exposed to new music from around the world, and then the world becomes less foreign and more real to most people who will learn about new music. So
that's an interesting way to think about it. I think music connects people for sure. There's so many people that like music but don't understand music, you know, and I guess y'all trying to bridge the gap by having classes like that.
Yeah, I think it really opens up the idea of how simultaneously large and small, global and local, we become, right? We can get anything we want on the internet, but how do we know what we like in a movie that might have some music we've never heard?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
When we start to learn more about all the little things, like, oh, this is flamenco music, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's an anime. Mm-hmm. Let me check that out more. And so connecting all of that makes us connected as humans much more.
You're so growing an appreciation for the music and how it's created, too. What does the term applied music mean?
Applied music refers to the idea that you are performing. It's not necessarily writing about music. It's not necessarily limited to talking about music. It's not limited to just listening to music. It's the act of creating music. And so applied music applies to one-on-one lessons. It also applies to music ensembles, playing with others. It's the act of creation.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that calling it practical music wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. In history, they called it practical music versus this sort of construction of talking about theory. So we can talk about music a lot, and we both do, but it's the act of making it and practicing it with other people, and you get to literally apply what you're learning in all the other ways to the experience.
I know y'all probably have students who like apply it like differently, but for in terms of like performing music, like having like ensembles and like choruses and stuff like that, what do y'all do for students like who might be like afraid to perform the music but still have the knowledge to? Like, how do y'all help them through that?
It's a difficult process, and I'm not going to pretend it's anything but part of the process that we do. We're not interested in throwing people into the deep waters of a terrifying audience situation. Mm-hmm. At the end of each semester, we have a relatively intimate setup known as juries, which occur in most music programs. It's mm-hmm. when that student performs whatever they've been working on that semester for just a few people. That's usually, in this case here, their own private instructor, along with Dr. Mahinka and myself. And we are there to give that experience of playing in front of people, slowly, slowly building up for some to that moment when, yeah, they're ready to play on one of our end of semester recitals, or in a situation where they will be more front and center in yeah. front of an audience.
Sometimes it's harder for students to perform in front of their professors. So true, sometimes it's more stressful, and we give feedback, but we usually hold off on the feedback, make it a little more tense, but in a good, positive place, and then the feedback's there. When we have the recitals, the end of semester recitals, it's a close-knit group of people. All the other students come, they support their peers, and we get some of the professors that come, the instructors come, and they're really supportive, and then you get the family members who all just want to see everyone do the best they can, and it doesn't matter what it is, it just matters that they're trying, and it just becomes a really good close to the semester after all. Whole semester of working hard.
Yeah, that's great. So y'all give them like pretty much constructive criticism, basically.
That is the goal.
They can improve.
Yeah.
Is it a popular major?
You know, it's
from like a general perspective. I don't want like numbers and stuff.
It ebbs and wanes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's we have semesters where we have a lot of students, and that finals week gets very busy. Lots of planning for recitals. Sometimes we have two recitals if we have lots of students to make sure everyone gets what they need and the space to perform. And then sometimes it's a little not so many students.
What's some of your favorite music?
There's lots of awesome music in the world. There's lots of bad music in the world, and it all has its fun and enjoyment, even the bad stuff, even the great stuff. Mm-hmm. I can never really pick a particular genre that I like more than others.
I will admit to being a pretty huge nerd for film scores and video game scores.
I love video game scores.
Yeah, that's...
Like, I listen to a lot of them throughout, like, when I'm trying to, like, sample something, I'll just listen to a whole soundtrack. I like old Nintendo. Nintendo has really good video game scores.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
Zelda. I'll even listen to, like, Spyro. I like Halo. I just have a whole library full of them. I'll take some recommendations from you, too, but, yeah, it's a lot. What kind of performance opportunities are available for students?
Well, we have a lot of them, a lot of different stuff that students could play with different ensembles. We have our HCC Jazz Ensemble, which is primarily an instrumental, meaning non-vocal ensemble for the most part. And that's led by Professor Benny Russell. And that meets on Thursday evenings and gives people an opportunity of many different types of instruments. We do focus more on jazz, but there's some flexibility to perform with that group. And they perform at an end of semester recital, as well as some stuff within the school or outside of the school if there are opportunities to play other performances. And then we also have our new Popular Music Vocal Ensemble.
Popular Music Vocal Ensemble.
Is it men and women?
Or yeah, absolutely. It's going to be...
Some people have just men, and then sometimes it's just women. But y'all have both of them. It's co-ed.
Right, that's cool. Absolutely. And that's kind of the next stage of growth for what had been our vocal jazz ensemble. That ensemble has a massive, illustrious history at this institution with lots of competitions on the national level and awards. And it's been a vital part of the music program. And we just felt that it was time to move beyond just vocal jazz and move into other popular music genres for that vocal ensemble. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be starting up in the fall for the first time. We're pretty pumped and excited about that.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have all the variety and have it just anyone who wants to sing anything at all will make something work.
Yeah, my next question was like the people who audition for it, or do y'all just, are y'all just open arms and y'all just practice a lot for whoever wants to do it?
It can vary. There are typically auditions when you do show up to figure out where you might fit into an ensemble or something like that. If there's situations for a music major where perhaps they're not ready to tackle a specific ensemble, because ensembles are required as part of the major, we'll find the ensemble that fits for them. Mm-hmm. Beyond just the ensembles that we have that are part of just the music program, we also are affiliated with multiple community ensembles to give that larger ensemble experience. That's cool. Whether that's the Susquehanna Symphony Orchestra, the Hartford Choral Society, or the Bel Air Community Band.
So run me down like a typical ensemble. So you start at the beginning of the semester, you like practice on what, every Thursday for doing like the jazz one?
It depends on which night of the week.
Yeah, and how many like recitals and stuff do you go to? Do you go anywhere for any different places, or are they all local?
The ones that are HCC ensembles would be performing here first, so mm-hmm. meaning they would have an end of semester recital that they would work toward and then get to the end of the semester and have that. But there's, again, also opportunity to have outside community
like
performances.
Community,
yeah, depending on what people ask for in the area. We've had our ensembles play at wonderful soirees down in fancy catered halls, and
cool.
we've played in a few different places. The ensembles have played in a few different places, and it's very fun to get out in the community and to be there making music.
Mm-hmm.
But our community ensembles also have their own schedule. So I think the Susquehanna Symphony Orchestra is twice every semester they perform.
Yeah.
Hartford Choral Society at least once a semester,
mm-hmm.
and the Bel Air Community Band at least once a semester, sometimes twice.
Well, y'all work in close tandem with them. Do y'all ever recommend students who are part of the local one for the upper community ones, like the Susquehanna and just other community orchestras that y'all work with?
You know, if a student comes into our program and they're primarily a string player, whether that's violin, viola, cello, or mm-hmm. Double bass, the Susquehanna Symphony Orchestra is going to be the excellent ensemble opportunity for them.
Mm-hmm.
For people with more of a vocal focus, working with Hartford Choral Society, that's going to be the way for them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of wind instruments, particularly if they aren't leaning towards the jazz pursuit, they'll find their way to the Bel Air Community Band.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our students, a lot of the music majors end up being in multiple ensembles, which I think is great. It gives them exposure to many different styles of music, many different directors, and helps them work with more people, you know, get a better spread of knowledge between that.
Definitely.
So, you know, you're not limited to only one ensemble. The requirement mm-hmm. is one ensemble a semester. But
you can definitely go above and beyond.
Most people play in the jazz ensemble and then the band too, the Bel Air Community Band. So once you start to play music, you just want to keep playing it most of the time.
Yeah,
so,
most definitely.
Yeah.
I feel you. I get it. What kind of people come to these events? Are those people other people that can provide opportunities for them? I don't know. Like, do other bands outside of like people come to like recruit, like watching y'all performances and stuff? That's really what I'm asking.
I think primarily the audience members that we get are members of the community who want to experience the music that's being created by the people mm-hmm. inside this community. And that is, I would say, the primary audience that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement. Also, in terms of reaching out and getting new possibilities for performance, a lot of the students do that on their own. We have at least one band has fomented itself into a band that plays now in Baltimore and up and all around Philadelphia.
Oh, that's what's up.
And they met here in the music department. So it's one of the students is not even a music major, but
mm-hmm.
he's in the band. And then
so y'all get them like well versed within the community, and then it's amongst themselves where they branch out and go do different things.
generally speaking, when you have musicians who get passionate about playing and they want to get out in front of that community, they'll do it. Yeah.
What kind of careers can students apply for after they finish y'all program? Do y'all also give them like a guideline or provide resources for them to get those careers?
That's a great question. Our degree is primarily a transfer degree. And so what primarily happens is students will transfer to a bachelor's degree granting institution to pursue a bachelor's degree of music, whether that's in music education or music therapy, music technology, or music performance. From there, the careers that they might get varies a great deal. But those transfer institutions that are most common, a lot of people end up going to Towson, University of Maryland, Baltimore County, mm-hmm. University of Maryland, College Park, Salisbury, Frostburg. But in addition, we have students who have gone much further afield, whether it be Peabody, New England.
Eastman School of Music.
Yeah.
We've had a student who was accepted into a program, a music therapy program out in Colorado.
Wow.
So, you know, start here, find your passion.
Yeah, opportunities
follow
are,
it, yeah.
are limitless, almost.
And the kind of unexpected thing that's pretty consistent among music programs when you're looking at those four-year degrees, even if you're like, you're thinking, I'm going to do music education, or I'm going to really focus on music performance, or I'm doing a degree in music composition or musicology or ethnomusicology, those first 2 years are almost always the same. And so those 2 years are matched really well to the associate's degree that we offer here at Harford.
We're here to provide a foundation. So mm-hmm. we have the associate's program, which could take anywhere between 2 and however many years it needs to take. Mm-hmm. And we're providing perspective, we're providing all that information, and we're providing between all of the studio instructors and ourselves a great deal of variety in how we got to our own paths. So there's a lot of experience and professionalism that although it's quote unquote only an associate's degree, it's mm-hmm. just a great place to start because you get so many people contributing to each student.
Mm-hmm. I think a key thing that really cannot be underemphasized that Dr. Mahinka just mentioned is the experience of the studio instructors, those people who are teaching not just the professional level performance skills that they've acquired on the singular instrument or pair of instruments that they have specialized in for the majority of their lives, mm-hmm. but they're also there to share their experience about being professional gigging musicians, people who are, their performances are acknowledged not just on the local level, not just, you know, Baltimore, but regionally or nationally. So there's a vast trove of experience and knowledge going on during, you know, that can be shared during your one-on-one lesson.
Mm-hmm. I mean, y'all, like you were saying, like y'all are the foundation. Like it's the first step is the hardest one to take. Have y'all had any like really successful students that y'all know of?
All of them.
I mean, like on like a grandiose scale, like anybody who's performed at like Madison Square Garden or something crazy like that.
I think the measure of a good student, or however we want to say that, a measure of someone who is successful is someone who is enjoying what they're doing, is someone who feels, even though probably nervous, they still feel confident about what they're doing, mm-hmm. and they know how to practice, and they know how to tackle the challenges, and they see the challenges as something that are worthwhile. Mm-hmm. Those are the students that are successful. The students who are struggling, they're also successful because they will come to us and say, what do I do now? Or this is a whole lot of work. And then we figure out how to be successful. Mm-hmm. It's all about the support for the students. It's all about the students being there for each other. It's all about us making a music program for majors and non-majors mm-hmm. who have a place to express themselves. Music making is wonderful and exciting and terrifying and challenging, and it's all of these things together. So I can't really think of any of the students who aren't successful because they're all there trying to bundle all of that in one mm-hmm. being.
See, that's a good answer. That's a textbook answer. I like that. Can y'all talk about y'all concert series events that y'all have during the spring?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did y'all choose these people, or did they offer to be at the evening of jazz
Oh, it's a combination. It's mm-hmm. a combination. You know, so we do have two primary series of concerts that we as a music program hold here in Joppa Hall. And one of them is the Evening of Jazz, which includes concerts on Friday evenings. Mm-hmm. And then we also have the Sunday Afternoon Concert Series, which I bet you already guessed occurs on Sunday afternoons.
Yeah. You don't say.
Yeah, I know, right? And so the Evening of Jazz, we bring in jazz performers, you know, from across the nation or from locally. Sometimes it's our faculty members showing off their chops, showing off their musicality. And sometimes it's people who, you know, are in from Seattle. Like on May 5th, Friday, Evening of Jazz, Eugenie Jones, who is an amazing vocalist who was here a few years ago, she's back. She is back. We are pumped and excited.
I'm more than excited.
Right?
Her charisma and spark just fill a room. She's astounding to see. And in such a small venue, intimate performance, it's going to be really, really nice.
And then on the other hand, you know, instead of that large national scope, I mean, on Friday, April 7th, we have Dave Manley, who's a guitarist, Detroit background, but Philadelphia is his current world. And, you know, he has his own sound. He'll be here. He'll be sharing that. And it's an experience not just for community members to come in and hear what kind of music there is out there that you can experience in that intimate setting. It's an opportunity for students to see professionals performing in different ways, different styles. Mm-hmm. And if you go to harfordevents.com and buy a ticket, you know, the money for that from those tickets, the ticket revenue, that's not lying in anybody's pockets. That's going to scholarship funds for current and future music majors. So that's huge.
And HCC students can come to our concerts for free.
Hmm. Just flash that ID, get your ticket, and free entry.
Evening or Sunday afternoon.
I had another question too. What kind of recommendations would you give for somebody on trying to find their sound in their music?
What's it mean to find your sound? I've worked with a lot of young musicians who get really focused on that idea that, like, I need to find my sound. I need to find that thing that defines me to other people. And the truth is, it's my sincere hope that the you sound, that this is my sound, that it's going to be changing every single time you put your fingers to the instrument or you put pen to paper. Mm-hmm. If your sound that you find is something that you lock in because you create an identity out of it, mm-hmm. you've done yourself a horrible disservice to grow and to experience how other music, other worlds of sound can influence what you can create.
What do you think?
I mean, you said that so eloquently.
Woohoo!
Music is change. I think that the one thing I've learned as a music historian and by focusing on what music means to people as opposed to just looking at scores or just, you know, boringly sitting anywhere and listening to music, is that music has to change. That the adage of the one thing that's always going to stay the same is that we're going to change. Everything changes. Music changes. So I can teach music that that supposedly is 2,000 years old, but I can point out the changes over every few hundred years. Things change. I think about old school hip hop, and people say old school hip hop's from the 90s. Well, old school hip hop should be from the 70s, but does it matter? As it changes, it becomes something important to someone. So is a person's sound and search for it important? Yes, but if we're open to being in the world and the world is always changing around us, we should also be open to seeing what new comes out of the exploration of sound.
How can future students get more information about the music program?
Well, they can go to our website, HCC's main page to the music program, and they could also email us at music@hartford.edu, and we're always around if they just want to stop by and say hi. We're always around and willing to talk.
What room are y'all in?
We're over in the music wing in Joppa, so enter Joppa Hall and then take a right, and we'll be in the hallways there. So J103 is my office, J102
Two is mine.
Your
so
office?
The from 100 to 114 in Joppa Hall. That's the music wing.
Thanks for being with us. In case you missed the contact information, here it is again. Visit go.harford.edu/music or call Janice Mahinka at 443-412-2290 and Richard Johnson at 443-412-2649. Special thanks go to Mohammed Bangora for conducting the interview. I'm Vaya Skinner, and HCC 360 will be back next month with another deep dive into amazing opportunities at Harford Community College. Thanks for listening.